This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that everyone is doing well, inshallah ta'ala. Today is the 18th of December, Friday, in the year 2020. And one of the brothers was joking around with me on the way out after salah. He was saying, you know, mashallah, one of the other brothers was talking about age. And then the other brother, he goes, alhamdulillah, you know, you're still young until you start seeing the white hairs come out. And I said, well, you don't realize it, but you know, underneath my mask, when everyone's wearing a mask, you can't really tell, but subhanAllah, I already have some white hairs in my beard. And so I was like, khalas, I'm already there now. Like, there's no going back. And so, alhamdulillah, it is what it is in this year. And I was telling him, you know what, when this year finally passes, inshallah ta'ala, and the pandemic goes away and things slowly start to resume as they were, and hopefully our iman gets stronger and we come closer to Allah, you know, when we all have to remove our masks, I think we're probably going to feel a sense of satisfaction keeping that mask on, right? It's been hiding a lot of us and who we are, and you know, it's been a huge part of our lives for the last year, which is a drastic change. But I know for some people in whatever part of the world they live in, you know, they wear masks all the time. And so what seems abnormal to us is something completely normal to others. All right, so we're going to continue our class. It is 8 o'clock. I usually like to stall a little bit as we start up because, you know, when, as soon as we go live, people get a notification and then they stop doing what they're doing and they come on. So alhamdulillah, we're live. We're going to continue, inshallah. And remember, we were learning about etiquettes, morals, values, and etiquettes. And we do continue that today, inshallah, as well. So today's topic is giving salam. So we were in the chapter of salam, salutations, greetings, you know, giving salam to one another. And so today's topic is starting with the salam towards someone who is not mahram for us. So for example, if we think of it in the context of a man or a brother, you know, giving salam to someone who he is not mahram for, someone who is, if we could use the term, foreign to that person. And what we mean by foreign, for those who may not know, Islamically, you know, a man and a woman are not permitted to be together alone, you know, in seclusion or dating or anything of that sort, except that they are halal for one another, that they are permitted to be in that, you know, situation together. And this can mean, you know, a person with his, you know, let's just use the man as the example. So the man with his wife, the man and his sister and his mother and so on. Basically, all the people that we covered in the past in our fiqh class as being halal for a person. So now we look at giving salam, saying assalamu alaikum to a Muslim sister who is not mahram for us. Or for a Muslim sister to give salam to a man who is not mahram for her. And so we see that the scholars actually differ on this. And it's because they are siding with caution, right? They are basically being cautious. They're trying to be careful. They're trying to encourage people not to, you know, open the door of shaitan or not to give shaitan the opportunity to even knock at that door. And what we mean here is that, first off, it is Islamically permissible for, you know, us to give salam to others in general, right? To other believers, right? So when we give salam, you give salam. Salamu alaikum. Salamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, right? Or assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Or as we learned, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, that's fine and dandy, but when we look at giving salam to someone who we are not mahram for, or you know, someone giving salam to someone who they're not halal to be around and with, the question there is, well, is there a harm that could come from it? And this is where some of the scholars say, no, it is not permissible. And then some scholars say it is permissible. The ones who say that it is not permissible, they're saying that because they want to avoid a fitna. They want to avoid something that could possibly arise from two people beginning a conversation with each other. But now we need to ask ourselves this question. If we live in a country or in an area where Muslims are a minority there, right? There's not many Muslims around. And this was something that I found we dealt with a lot as a Muslim community in the last year, two, or three from now, right? Is that we are sometimes being targeted, right? Muslims are being targeted, you know, whether it's in the media or by people on the street, strangers that are passing by. And it gives a sense of security, a sense of, you know, safety to anyone, whether man or woman, who's walking by and feels that someone else is a believer and would be there to look after that person in the case that something may go wrong or happen. And so when you're walking by your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister, generally, from an Islamic perspective, it's permissible to say, Assalamu alaikum. And I would say that in the current context for us here in Canada, it is encouraged even more for us to give salam and to say salam out loud for a number of reasons. First of all, you want that sense of security and safety and, you know, comfort, knowing that there are other Muslims around you, that should there be something that goes wrong or that happens, you know, inshallah, the Muslim will be the person that will stand up to help you and assist you. Also, I feel that we should be giving salam out loud and to each other even more so than in other places on earth, mainly because we are small in number. And we're small in number, but the more we resist giving salam to each other, the more we feel isolated and the smaller we feel in terms of numbers as well. And so when we give salam to one another, you meet another Muslim, you say, Assalamu alaikum. You're not doing anything more, and you should not do anything more. You should not walk by and say, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, sister? How's everything today? MashaAllah, you know, you're looking really good. Alhamdulillah, your hijab is matching your, you know, it's matching your clothing, and that's matching your shoes, and that's matching the sky. The sky is beautiful today. Look at the sunset, you know, and the sister's like, you know, you're going at it, right? No, it's not supposed to be that way. You're walking by someone and you say, Assalamu alaikum, you have to remember that in your mind, in your heart, and on your tongue, what you're doing is you are saying a dua for that person. You are saying, Assalamu alaikum. May the peace and blessings and safety and security from Allah, the one who owns peace, right? The one who owns that safety. May He shower His peace and safety and blessings down upon you. And so you're making a dua for this person to be safe and to be protected under the one who owns that protection as well. Not us. We don't own that protection. We are not in charge. You know, we may try to do something. You try to move your hand and all of a sudden it doesn't move anymore because we're not in control, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately is in control. And so when we think of Allah azza wa jal, as-salam, the one who provides this, you know, goodness and greatness and all that's good out there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is who we should be thinking about when we give salam to someone else and not be thinking about what that person is doing or what that person is wearing or where that person is going or what, you know, the makeup and the matching and the essence of the perfume the brother is wearing and, you know, the beard is done up nicely and so on and so forth. No, none of that should matter. In fact, we should be thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're giving salam to someone else. That Allah has blessed me with the ability to give salam to another person, and that person is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive my salam. And remember, the right of the Muslim upon another is that you respond to the salam as well. And so when someone says, Assalamu alaikum to you, as we learned in the past weeks, right, is that they will respond to your salam also. So from that angle, when we look at it as us Muslims here in Canada, for example, or in any other country out there, where Muslims are a minority, why feel shy? You know, that's another point that I want to touch upon. Why feel shy? You know, why? Why are we shy to say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so others can hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, instead of two Muslims walking by, like, salam. And the other one's like, did they say salam? I don't know. Did they say salam? Talking to their friends, like, that person just say salam to us? Or what did they say? Oh, maybe they're not Muslim. They didn't say it right. Yeah, they're not a Muslim. Just respond like a non-Muslim, right? Wa alaikum. right? No. You know, you're greeted with salam, or you see another Muslim, greet them with salam. And we'll talk about greeting the non-Muslim shortly, right after this, inshallah ta'ala, okay? So we're talking about the Muslim meeting the Muslim and giving salam. In addition to that, my brothers and sisters, we should have good thoughts of each other. Like, there's one thing for you to be the one who's giving salam to someone else. But if you're walking by someone, or that someone is walking by you, I should say, and they give you salam, have good thoughts of that person. Don't think like, astaghfirullah, you know, we're at university and, you know, a sister walks by a bunch of brothers and she says assalamu alaikum to the brothers. And the brothers are like, astaghfirullah, look at his sister, you know, she has no haya. She gave Muslims salam, and the Muslims are saying she has no haya, she has no modesty. We as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should feel honored that we have that opportunity to give salam to one another, right? That we are greeting each other with the greetings of the believers that came from the time of Adam alayhi salam. A greeting that will be given to us upon entry into paradise. Right? Salam. And then the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Muslims turn around and be like, astaghfirullah, this sister, she has no haya, she's not modest. Right? Just to what? Show off? Just to try and look good? Just to try and, you know, be someone who, you know, is eloquent in your speech? No. We shouldn't judge the other person. And the same thing, my sisters, when a Muslim brother walks by you, no one understand that this brother who's saying salam to you, first of all, we have to have husn al-dhan, right? Husn al-dhan. Why? Because when we have su' al-dhan, which is negative assumptions of others, okay, when we assume something of someone else that is negative, we have to understand the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, as well as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the majority of what we assume are nothing but false tales, are nothing but lies, right? And so the majority of what we assume is nothing but lies. Therefore, what this means is that we should not be assuming things of others. And when we do, we are probably wrong. Okay, when we do assume something of someone, we are probably wrong. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn this in our deen, right? So don't assume that someone is up to no good when they give you salam. Assume that this person is giving you salam because they feel content, and also they want to let you know, I'm a believer and I'm greeting you with the greetings of this dua that I'm showering upon you, as in I'm blessing you with. In fact, you're asking Allah to bless that person with. You're not blessing them with, you're asking Allah to bless that person with that, right? With the blessings of Allah and the peace and safety and so on, the rahmah and barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, so that's with regards to giving salam to someone who is not mahram for us, right? Someone who is not technically family. Now we look at what is the permissibility of giving salam to someone who is young, like a child. So an adult giving salam to a child. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he narrates saying, أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَمْشِي مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, he was walking with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay? And as he's walking with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they passed by a sibyan, a child, right? A child who's young. فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he passed by these children, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam greeted them with salam. Now I know some of you are thinking, wait a second, we just learned last week or the week before that the youngsters should give salam to the elders, right? But that is who should start, like, out of the morals and etiquettes that we learn in our deen, who should start the salam? Who should say assalamu alaikum first? Right? Instead of wa alaykum as-salam. Who starts with assalamu alaykum? But here we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beginning and saying assalamu alaykum to these children. Is that wrong? No. It's part of tarbiyah. It's part of tarbiyah. And it's also part of softening the hearts. right? And so you'll notice when you see a child and you see them like, oh, salamu alaikum, how are you? And sometimes you'll see adults where they're just like, okay, adults mix with adults and teenagers mix with teenagers. Alhamdulillah, I just saw a bunch of teenagers gang up on an uncle, a brother who's about my age. He's probably younger than me, you know, but I call him an uncle just for the sake of it. Because these teenagers were like, you know, all standing around him, and they're probably like friends of this brother's son. Right. And so, you know, they're standing around and I'm like, guys, come on, man. If you're going to gang up on an uncle, at least you got to be like 6 feet away each. Right. So you got to have your distance away from this uncle. So you can't really beat up this uncle. And we're talking about it lightheartedly, like they're friends. They know each other. Right. So they're talking, alhamdulillah. And so, you know, it part of developing a good relationship with the youth and with the children that are out there is that we see some of us humbling ourselves and showing some, you know, softness, some kindness to the children that are around. So when you see children, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to see children, he would greet them, he would talk to them, he would speak to them nicely. You know, he would show them love. He would show them love. And what happens there is that they learn to, first of all, love the deen. They love the people of the deen, right? They see people who are religious, people who have some sort of morals and values that are divine, that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will now love those people. And when I say love, I mean they're drawn closer to them. They want to be around them. They want to be like them, maybe, right? Because they see the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those people. And so they're drawn closer to them and they want to, you know, spend some time with them or chill with them. And so this is a element of learning how to teach morals and etiquettes to those children that are around in our society. Now, we look at a specific topic. If a person who's mature give salam to a child, or a child gives salam to someone who's mature, فَهَلْ يَجِبْ رَدُّ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ إِذٍ, is it compulsory to reply to the salam in those two cases or not? So if there's someone who is mature, someone who's older, an adult, give salam to a child, must the child respond to the salam? And in the second scenario, if a child gives salam to an adult, must the adult respond to the salam of the child? Because, hey, adults are at a higher level, right? You know, they're like so much better than children. So what is the answer to it? إِذَا سَلَّمَ بَالِغٌ, so if someone who is mature, an adult, gives salam to a child, okay, it is not compulsory for that child to respond to the salam of the adult. Why? Who knows? Who knows the answer to this? So let me say this again. If an adult gives salam to a child, it is not compulsory or not necessary for the child to respond to the salam of the adult. Why? Who knows? Just guess. Take wild guesses at this, right? Try and figure out why. Why is it not compulsory for the child, or not necessary for the child to respond to the salam of the adult? Why do you think? Come on. That's what your chat session or your chat section is for. You know, the comments. Type it in there. I know you guys type really fast, right? Okay, maybe the child is not aware of the etiquettes because he's not accountable or duty bound until he grows up. Okay, anyone else? A third person, maybe? Inshallah, there's so many of you on and no one wants to guess at this one. All right, so Jamie agrees with Abdullah, alhamdulillah. Manal says, By child, do you mean someone who's younger or child like before puberty? I mean like a child before puberty. Okay, child before puberty. Give them grace and maybe they didn't hear you. Okay, because the child is young and still learning. Okay, it's not wajib. Any tips or hints? All right. Well, you guessed it. You got it. I wouldn't say that you guessed it. I would say that you applied the knowledge you already learned. If a child is not of the age of maturity, right? They haven't reached that level of maturity, then they are not held accountable for their actions. Therefore, the child does not have to, technically, respond to the salam of the adult. So it's not compulsory for the child to respond. Is it good for the child to respond? Yes. Is it preferable for the child to respond? Yes, of course, absolutely. But should we get really angry and upset if the child doesn't respond? No. Why? Because the child is still a child. The child is still a child. We should ask the child or remind the child, right? Say, I said salam. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, I'm here. Right? Sometimes you come home, you say salam, and your family just doesn't care. And you're like, hello, assalamu alaikum, I'm here. Oh, alaikum assalam, didn't even know you came in, right? And so, subhanAllah, it's important for us to understand who we are talking to and if it's even compulsory for them to respond. Now, let's take the second example. If the child gives salam to an adult, does the adult have to respond to the child? I'll answer it for you to save time. Yes, okay. The adult does respond to the salam. Why? First of all, the adult is receiving salam. Even though they're receiving salam from a child, they're receiving salam. And it's the right of another believer, another Muslim, to have their salam responded to. And so the adult responds to the salam, okay? The adult responds to the salam of the child, not only because they, you know, it's the right of the other person, but because you want to teach the child that you have to respond to the salam. So if children come home and give salam and their parents never respond to their salam, and then when the parents come home and they give salam and the child doesn't respond, the parents get upset right away. They're like, you didn't reply to my salam. I said salamu alaikum to you. How come you don't reply? And a child who's clever will say, but dad, you never say salam, you never reply to our salam anyways. And the father says, well, I don't have to. You're children, I'm an adult. No, you should. You should. You receive the salam, and so you return the salam. Okay? You receive the salam, so you return the salam, because it's the right of a Muslim upon another, right? That the salam is responded to when they give it. And also because you as the adult want to teach the child some morals and values and etiquettes. And so you want to respond to their salam so that they can learn about the importance of replying to salam. Okay. And so, you know, a lot of the time when we're talking about our deen or learning our deen, we won't dissect these things, right? In general conferences or talks or lectures or khutbas, you know, you just mentioned something, we should give salam. But usually we don't look at it this way. We don't like break things down. And that's the beauty of having these classes, that sometimes we can break things down and try to understand them a little bit more in depth and make us think a little bit more, you know, about how things are. Alhamdulillah. Okay. The next topic that we'll discuss, inshallah, is giving salam to people who are awake in an area where there are some people who are sleeping. So for example, you come home or you walk into a room and you know, some of your children, let's say you have two children sleeping in a room, right? Two brothers are sleeping in the same room, or two sisters sleeping in the same room. And you know, the parent or the adult comes home, goes upstairs, sees them, says, Salamu alaikum. Should you say salam so loud that it wakes up the person sleeping because it's your right to have your salam responded to? Or should you not say salam? Or should you say salam quietly and silently? So the answer to that is, if you walk into a room or you're in an area where some people are sleeping, you should give salam in a way that the people who are awake will hear your salam and reply to it, but the people who are sleeping will not be disturbed by your salam. And a beautiful example is if you go for Hajj and you're sharing a hotel room with other people, right? Other people who are not family to you. Usually there's always this clash, right? It's like, oh man, you know, this person snores and that person bangs the door and this person comes in and just says salam out loud and that person likes AC and this person hates AC and that person likes to eat in the middle of the night and this person has to wake up every 2 hours to take their pills and that person is coming and going and getting Uber dropped off and, you know, all this beautiful food coming and going from the room and the other person doesn't shower properly and then this person makes a mess in the bathroom and that person does this and everyone has their own thing, right? Every single person is different. Everyone has their own sort of, you know, ways that they're used to doing in their personal life. Now you go for Hajj and you're sharing rooms together. Okay, you're sharing a hotel room together. And you have to live with each other for the next 2 to 3 weeks, right? You're going to travel in buses together. You're going to sleep side by side in Mina. You're going to be in a hotel room, subhanAllah. All of these things that I'm telling you actually do happen when you go for Hajj. People are like, you know, they're just, subhanAllah, there's so many things that you deal with, so many different kinds of people. So, or so many different habits that people have, I should say. And so what do? This is where, like I said, if you walk into your room, let's say you go for Hajj and you went to the Haram and you come back and you're going into your room, you open the door quietly, right? You go into your room and you see two of your roommates are sleeping and one of them is awake. And you look at that when you say, Salaamu Alaikum. And you say it in a way that's quiet enough, just quiet enough for him to hear, but so quiet that the other two that are sleeping don't even hear it. Like they're not disturbed by it. And we see that this happened during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, radiallahu anhu, he said, we used to reserve for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam his share of milk. Okay, so they used to keep his share of milk until he would come. And he would come, right, he says, and he would come at night and offer greetings in such a manner as it did not disturb those who were asleep and it was heard only by those who were awake. So it was heard only by those awake. So he gave salam so silently that the people who were awake were able to hear it and to respond to it. But the people that were sleeping didn't even know that he had entered the room, right? Didn't even know that he had entered the room. And so, you know, that's the way that we give salam. Now, someone's asking, right? Can it be done in gestures and not using our voice? Remember, we said salam should be given with our voice. We should say assalamu alaikum. And one of the topics that we're going to look at very shortly is giving salam by gestures only, right? Like, all these gestures that people give, right? And so, no, that is, and subhanAllah, you'd be surprised. As a khatib, someone who delivers a Jummah khutbah, you'd be surprised how many people during the khutbah, they're like, oh, we're not allowed to speak. And they're just sitting there doing gestures nonstop. It's like, come on, guys, you're not even supposed to be giving gestures at each other. So we're going to look at that shortly, inshallah ta'ala. But generally, the salam is supposed to be given, you know, verbally, out loud, spoken. Okay, it's supposed to be spoken. All right. The next topic that we will look at is, inshallah ta'ala, how it is not from the deen to begin giving salam to the non-believer. And what we mean by this is actually saying assalamu alaikum. So we don't greet a non-Muslim with assalamu alaikum. Because that is the greetings of the Muslims, right? That's the greetings of the Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the answer there is, can we, you know, walk into, I don't know, a non-Muslim's office, for example, and they're sitting there and you say, assalamu alaikum? No, because that's not a greeting of the believer to the non-believer, that's a greeting for the Muslim to the Muslim, right? Or the believer to the believer. But what we can do is say something like, good morning, how are you, how's everything, right? Something other than assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, okay? So yes, the Muslim can begin greeting the person, but we don't greet the non-Muslim with assalamu alaykum. We greet with good morning, hello, how are you, how's it going, how's things, how's family, what's up, how's the weather today? You know, subhanAllah, just the other day, one of the brothers was saying, he's like, Canada's an awesome country. Anyone can have a conversation with anyone. All you need to do is talk about the weather. So how's the weather outside today? Oh, it's freezing cold. What's the weather like outside? Oh, it's not too bad. What's the weather like outside? You know, it's like, you feel awkward. You're in an awkward situation. No problem. Your bailout is weather. Talk about the weather, right? Canadian weather. It's like a hot topic. So does the Muslim, you know, begin greeting the non-Muslim with assalamu alaikum? No, because that's not the salutation of the non-Muslim with the Muslim, right? Now, what about meeting someone who's non-Muslim and they give you salam? The non-Muslim gives the Muslim salam. You know, if the non-Muslim walks into a Muslim's office, or the Muslim walks into a non-Muslim's office, right? The same example we used before. You walk into an office that's a non-Muslim, like, hey, how's it going? They're like, oh, assalamu alaikum, right? What do you say to that person? Well, we see that the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu an, where he says, the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِذَا سَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَقُولُوا وَعَلَيْكُمْ. If a non-believer or someone from Ahlul Kitab, Jewish Christian, says assalamu alaikum to you, then respond to them by saying wa alaikum, and upon you, right? They're saying something, they might think they're saying something, or they might have an idea of what they're saying in Arabic. Maybe they don't speak Arabic, but they heard Muslims saying it. So respond to them by saying and upon you, right? They're saying a dua upon us, and you say wa alaikum, and upon you, right? Now, what if you hear a non-Muslim, or you have a friend who's non-Muslim, or a family member, relative, a neighbor, someone who's not Muslim, but when they give you salam, they pronounce it 100% correct. They say, assalamu alaikum, or assalamu alaikum, right? As best as they can, right? Or you know what, subhanAllah, if we just put a little bit of effort into it, it's so easy for everyone to try and to learn different languages. We just need to like sort of tune our ears and tweak our tongues to it. And so if there is ever a time where a non-Muslim comes in and doesn't say assalamu alaykum, like what was done to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Like a curse, may you be poisoned kind of thing. If someone is saying something nice, right? They're a non-Muslim, but they're trying hard to say assalamu alaykum properly. Should we respond to that person with wa alaykum, or should we respond and say wa alaykum assalam? Well, the scholars actually differ on this. In the case that a person says the salam properly, right? If they say the salam properly. So there are some scholars who say, if they say the salam properly, then it is permissible for the Muslim to respond with wa alaykum as-salam, okay? However, the majority of the scholars say no, because of the presence of that hadith that we quoted earlier of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you're greeted by someone who's, you know, not a believer, then you should say wa alaykum. Then because of that hadith, we should act upon that hadith. And if someone says assalamu alaykum, even if they're pronouncing it properly, we say wa alaykum. That's it. And upon you, right? They're saying something nice, may you be blessed, and may you be blessed as well, right? What our definition of blessing is slightly different than their definition of blessing. No problem. But you're saying that to me and upon you, right? And so that's what the majority of the scholars say with regards to salam to the non-believer, okay? To the non-believer. Now, we look at another topic. What if you come into a room where there's a gathering or a meeting? Right, you come into a room and there's a mixture of Muslims and Jewish and Christians and polytheists, right? Idol worshippers, whatever, mushrikun, right? You come into a room and there's a mixture of Muslims and non-Muslims. Can you say salam out loud? Should we, as Muslims, say salam to the entire congregation? Sometimes you'll notice a imam or someone is invited to do a lecture somewhere, and there's a group of people in front, a congregation in front. You know, it might be a dinner, a wedding, or something, and there are Muslims and non-Muslims. Is it permissible to say assalamu alaikum to all of them? Or should we just not say salam because, hey, there's Muslims and non-Muslims? This is where Islamically we are encouraged, as was the practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Badr, right? He, you know, went to an area, the area of Banu al-Harith ibn al-Khazraj. And, you know, when he got there, you know, they're Muslims, non-Muslims, Jewish, and so on and so forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave salam to everyone. So that's evidence that it is permissible if you enter upon a gathering or a group of people and there are some Muslims and some non-Muslims, then we can say salam because our intention is to give salam to the believers. And then to say, good morning, how are you? How's everyone? You know, hope everything is good. You know, greetings to everyone, right? So you greet everyone, but you say salam specifically to the Muslims that are there. So these are basically just etiquettes that we learn about our deen, about giving salam, how to give salam, when to give salam, what to say when salam is given to us, how to respond to it, and so on and so forth. I did see some questions going up there in a few different places. I'm going to ask you to hold off on your questions for a couple more minutes, inshallah, and then I will answer those questions, inshallah ta'ala. So remember, the intention is to basically give salam to the believers that are there, the Muslims that are there, and to say something nice in terms of a greeting to the non-Muslims that are there as well. Remember, as Muslims, we have to be presentable, right? We have to be presentable. And the last thing that we'll look at, because it sort of ties into the topic, I didn't really want to touch upon it today. I wanted to end where we just finished, you know, with what we just finished discussing. But I'll end with something else, inshallah ta'ala. Let me just write this down. December 18, 2020. Okay. So the last thing that we'll take for today is the permissibility of giving salam with an ishara, right? A gesture. You meet someone, a Muslim, they're far away, and like, right? Or like my African, you know, friends in Medina, what they used to do is, subhanAllah, whenever we'd meet each other, or they'd see us from far away because our buildings were far. Sometimes you're on your balcony and, you know, your friend is on his balcony in a different building, and we used to see each other, and the Africans, they go like this, right? They go like this. This is like their way, I'll just do this. It's like their way of giving salam, like, salam alaikum, right? And us, we just go, salam alaikum. And then you'll see some people where they go like this, right? Salam alaikum. And so how is this something that's permissible Islamically? It's only something that should be done in the case of a necessity or in the time or the opportunity that you don't have. Let me rephrase this. It's only permissible or only should be done when you don't have the ability to verbally say salam, or you don't have the ability for the person to hear your salam, right? Maybe there's a gathering that's going on. You don't want to disturb the gathering. It's a meeting, a conference or something. And you see someone makes eye contact with you in the distance, like, salam alaikum, right? So you move your mouth still. You say salam with your mouth, but you will gesture. Use your hand to gesture or to, you know, as a symbol, I'm giving you salam. Right? You raise your hand, salamu alaykum, right? And that is something that is permissible to do only in the case of a necessity. Remember, we should not try to take away that verbal statement of salam because of some other reason, okay? We should give salam verbally as much as we can, whenever we can, except in the case that we can't, okay? So, you know, like I said, sometimes it's like this. Some people will go like this, right? Which I'm not really a fan of. It's kind of like, what's this? It's like, oh, what's up, man? You know, No, for me, it's more like salamu alaikum, right? And remember, this in itself, in some cultures, some customs, is I have nothing to harm you. I come with peace, right? I come peacefully. I have no weapon in my hand. There's nothing. My hand is open, right? And free of any harm to you. Salamu alaikum. Unless you're going to slap them, that's a different story, right? But salamu alaikum. And that's that, right? The African, salamu alaikum. How are you, right? They used to do this. They used to go over their head. Salamu alaikum, right? Alhamdulillah. Every culture has their way. But we should still say salam out loud. Why? Because assalamu alaikum, 10 hasanat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, 20 hasanat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, 30 hasanat. Okay. And yes, Abdullah Zahid, some people, you know, this is the Irtugrul, right? Greeting. When I come in the masjid now, everyone's like, Irtugrul. Like, wa alaykum as-salam to you too, Irtugrul. My name ain't Irtugrul, okay? So subhanAllah, every time I come in the masjid, there's always some brothers like, yes, Netflix to you too. SubhanAllah. So that's all that we're going to take for today. We'll open it up for some questions, inshallah, if anyone has any questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to continue to learn the deen and to understand the small little, you know, aspects of this deen that make it so beautiful and make us as believers shine. Really, when we learn these etiquettes and we learn about Islam and we learn what's right and we stay away from what's wrong and, you know, stay away from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do, and we try our best to even go out of our way a little bit to do what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, that's where the nur comes into our lives. That's where we begin to shine. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, polishes us up. We're becoming polished, right? And we shine and we glow. And that's, you know, the beauty of this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Okay, so questions. I answered all of these, inshallah. All right, let me see what's here. Is it wrong to say salamu alaikum instead of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? So, Sister Afreen or Afreen, are you asking if it's wrong to say salamu alaikum when greeting a Muslim, like from a Muslim to a Muslim? Because if that's the case, then no, it's not wrong. But you only get 10 rewards, okay? Like I just finished saying. So if someone comes in and says assalamu alaikum, then they're only getting 10 rewards for their salam. If they say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, they're getting 20 rewards. And they'll get full rewards if they say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's 30 rewards for saying more than saying less. Okay. What did you say before the nur part? Before the nur part. I don't know. What did I say before the nur part? What was I saying? I was saying these are small little things, little etiquettes that if we learn and we implement in our lives, you know, it brings out the nur within us. I don't really remember what I was saying just before that. Maybe someone else can remind me. I think that's pretty much what I was saying. When people type out their salam on WhatsApp or Instagram, is it necessary that we type out the reply, or can we respond verbally although they won't hear it? Okay, very good. So it's encouraged that we respond to someone's salam when they type assalamu alaikum on, you know, social media, or they're messaging us on Instagram or WhatsApp, for example. It's encouraged that we respond to their salam with salam. Now, one thing that, and I spoke about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, what really bothers me is when people just write like SLM. Okay, so now you want me to respond wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and all you had to write was SLM, or someone writes salam, S-A-L-A-M or S-A-L-A-A-M. It's like, okay, so would you like me to say wa salam? Because I would love for you to say assalamu alaikum and say that dua to me, right? Say so that, you know, I am also receiving those blessings, not just like peace. Yeah, peace to you too. But I want more than that, right? I want assalamu alaikum, at least, at the very least. And so I encourage everyone, if you're going to be writing salam to someone on social media, that you do not write salam. I made this a habit with myself, and I could probably count the amount of times in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years maybe that I've written salam only, right? I usually write assalamu alaikum and I respond wa alaikum assalam. And if they, you know, write more, then you try and respond with the full salam as well. Now, is it compulsory or can we simply just respond, you know, with the question that's asked? So if someone types out salamu alaikum, I usually say wa alaikum assalam. So when I'm reading it, like salamu alaikum salam, right? And just move on. So don't assume that the person did not. Sometimes people write to you and they're like, salamu alaikum, Sheikh, can I ask you a question? And I'll write back because I get like 100 emails, you know, or messages and stuff like that. More than that in a day, I get over 200, 300 in one day. And, you know, people send me a message, salam, can I ask you a question? You just did. You just asked me a question. You're asking me a question with a question. Right? You're asking me if you can ask me a question, but you just did. And so sometimes I'll just be like, yes, or please do, or Bismillah, right? And they'll reply and say, Astaghfirullah, I said salam to you and you didn't reply to my salam. Now you're just wasting my time, right? Now you're just wasting my time. Understand that if you gave salam to someone, then they probably responded to your salam verbally, which is even better. Wa alaykum as-salam, right? Now, for you to say, salam, can I ask you a question? And then the person answers your question, right? But you don't care about that question. You're going back to, okay, now you didn't. It's like, you know what? You're just wasting my time. Like, I don't even want to answer your question now. And so, subhanAllah, you know, we need to be understanding of each other. And you know what? When they do ask their question, I will answer it, right? I will. Whenever I have the time and ability, I will. And I know some of you are probably going to message me now and be like, I asked you a question 6 months ago. You never responded to me. I know. I get hundreds a day. Sometimes I don't get to answer it today and I get busy the next day and then it gets bumped down. If I didn't answer it today or see your message today, it's going 200 messages down tomorrow. And if I don't get it tomorrow, it's going another 200 messages down. By then it's gone. Like there's a rare chance that I'll respond to it. But the question there is, should we type out the full salam? Yes. And when I say the full salam, I mean assalamu alaikum is sufficient, right? And then if someone wants to say wa alaikum assalam, they can. Or wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, or wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, they can, okay? Some people get frustrated when we don't type out salam response and they make us type it in full. Okay, so I just finished answering that. How about some people put hand on forehead and say adab? Adab, is that permissible? They put their hand on their forehead. What do they do? Like this. Well, if that's their culture and this means salam, then like we said, that could be used from a distance when you can't hear or there's no option except to do this, right? I see some brothers, they come in and they're like, you know, you're standing like just after Asr today, a brother was walking out. I think it was Asr, one of the prayers. You know, a brother was walking out and he went like this. And I guess it's because, you know, Salah finished, we wanted to be quiet, we're still in the masjid area, you know, so he just went like that. And I was like, Salaamu Alaikum. He's like, Wa Alaikum Assalam. And then we just went on our way, right? So say Salaam. There's nothing wrong with saying Salaam, okay? Trudnair. Salaamu Alaikum. Alaikum Assalam. Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. Chinese Muslims can't say it properly. They say, Sali alaykum. Okay, mashallah. It's a hydro thing, hand on head. Hey, I had a Chinese classmate whose Quran was awesome. I had a Chinese roommate for a few months when I was a student in Medina. He was a graduate from the Faculty of Hadith. And his pronunciation was super, super good. His Arabic was polished. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. All right, Sheikh Abdurrahman. Allah yubarak fiik. We have Sheikh Abdurrahman on here, by the way, guys, if you didn't know. Sheikh Abdurrahman, ciao. If you respond to salamu alaykum with salamu alaykum, is that fine? No. So we learned that if you respond to someone's salam, you should say wa alaykum assalam. Okay? Say wa alaykum assalam. We learned that last week, I believe. You can go back and watch those videos, inshallah. All right, I think that is it. is replying Alhamdulillah instead of Alhamdulillah, same. Is replying Alhamdulillah to Salam. If you're just saying Alhamdulillah, is it the same? It has a little bit of a lesser value to it. Alhamdulillah, right? Has more value to it, you could say, if we were to just simply answer that, okay? All right, that's all the time that we have for today. And all the questions that I see came out were answered. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending. Barakallahu fikum. I look forward to seeing you all on Sunday for our essential fiqh class. And that will be at the same time, 8 o'clock p.m. Fiqh, and we're going through the chapter of marriage, inshallah. So I hope to see all of you there, and we'll catch up soon. Barakallahu fikum, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim, wa jazakumullahu khairan, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.